How do you like your coffee? Freshly roasted? You can just smell it, can't you? Well, how would you like it brought to you? If you're passionate about your coffee, then a passion for the bean is for you. At a passion for the bean, they custom roast coffee beans from around the world when you place your order, so your coffee is guaranteed to be fresh, rich, full-bodied, and full of flavor. That's not the taste that you get from coffee beans that have been sitting on a supermarket or coffee house shelf for weeks. Now, to have the ultimate coffee experience delivered to your home or office, call A Passion for the Bean at 480-703-2326. That's 480-703-BEAN. A Passion for the Bean has joined forces with the American Stroke Association in the fight to end stroke. Now, you can help by purchasing an ASA signature blend, and 30% of the proceeds will go directly to the ASA. Help us put an end to stroke. The life you save may be your own. And call A Passion for the Bean today, 480-703-2326.
From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a marriage and family therapist and a professional rebirther. And this is a show where each week we deal with mental health issues from a holistic perspective, which means finding balance in body, mind, and spirit. So we don't forget that it takes an honest look at all aspects of who we are to fully heal and fully find balance in our lives so that we can be all that we're meant to be. Now, we all know that the truth will set you free. The question we ask here is, how long are you willing to keep freedom on hold? So tonight's show, we're going to be talking about milestones. We're going to be talking about life transitions. We're going to be talking with a good friend of mine, Sandra Ray, that many of you may know who she is, but by the end of this show you will know who she is if you don't already. And this is a live call-in show, so if you're in the Phoenix area and you have a question or a comment for myself or Sandra when we get started, the number is 480-949-1310. That's 480-949-1310. Now, if you're listening from outside the Phoenix area, if you're listening via the internet, as I know many of you are, it's the same number, 480-949-1310. Feel free to call in. Now, yesterday was Sandra Ray's birthday, and I'm very honored that she's a part of the show today, especially since she's still, I'm sure, in a celebration mode, although knowing Sandra the way I do, she celebrates every day. And as we were going on the air, I was thinking back of milestones, and on July 4th, I celebrated 20 years of the day that I arrived here in Los Angeles. Now, I know my show is airing there in Phoenix, but I'm doing this remotely from my home in Los Angeles. And 20 years ago, on July 4th, I arrived in L.A. 20 years ago, this month, and I think very close to this week, I met Sandra Ray at an evening she did at a hotel in Santa Monica. I think it was Santa Monica. And so it's even more fitting that she's my guest today because she and I are actually celebrating an anniversary together because it's 20 years ago, probably this week, that we met. Now, if you don't know Sandra, let me tell you a little bit about her, and then I'm going to get her actually on the air with us. Sandra Ray is a teacher. She's a guide. She, as is written about her, is one of the most eclectic spiritual leaders of the day. She is recognized throughout the world as a spiritual teacher, author, a rebirther, a lecturer, and a healer. She is still writing books, and I know she has one in the works, I think two in the works, and one recently came out. She has been my teacher, and I'm glad to say my friend. She trained me to be a rebirther or a breath worker, and so much of who I am today comes from the wisdom that has moved through her when I first started taking workshops with her and through the years. Now, people often ask me where the title of my show comes from, Tell the Truth Faster. Well, I've said this before. I have explained this before. Sandra Ray and Bob and Mally Mandel and some other people years ago started this weekend training called the Loving Relationships Training. And if you get her book, Loving Relationships, it basically is that training. And it's a very powerful experience that I've taken and supported as a assistant, not an assistant, but as a volunteer assistant many times. But on the Friday night of that workshop, while everybody's still kind of nervous about being there and we're still kind of getting settled and wondering what's really going to go on this weekend, they make a statement, and it's, tell the truth faster. And you know how sometimes you hear something, and it just is something that awakens every cell in your being? Well, that phrase did that for me. And I wrote it down in big letters at the top of a fresh page in my notebook. And while so much else went on through that weekend, it has become a mantra of mine and my clients, because I got clients I have not seen in years that run into me and say, you know what, I always hear your voice telling me to tell the truth faster. And that's where the phrase came from for the title of this show, Tell the Truth Faster. Now, there are many forms of it. 12-step programs say you're only as sick as your secrets. There's books that are out there, tell the truth as fast as you can, or whatever. But it was at the Loving Relationships training that phrase was the beginning of a transformation to me. So with that introduction, I want to thank Sandra Ray and welcome Sandra to the show tonight.
Hi, good to hear from you.
And happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, I started a new book at the exact time of my birth yesterday.
Oh, excellent. what's the new book going to be about?
The new book is called The Renaissance of Rebirthing. You know, I feel rebirthing is making a huge impact now, and it needs to go to the next level, and it's coming back in a new way, and so that's the title so far. That's the working title.
Well,
anyway.
For my listeners who don't know what rebirthing is, and I don't want to do the whole show on rebirthing.
Uh-huh.
Briefly describe what rebirthing and breathwork is for my listeners.
Okay. Well, rebirthing is spiritual purification technique in a way. And it's physical, mental, and spiritual. And it's mostly spiritual and physical because actually you do bypass the mind. So it's it originally started in 1974 to work out your birth trauma, but then it's expanded to something much greater, and physical healing is one of the byproducts. Mm-hmm. So it's a breathing technique, and I've been doing it ever since 1974 and teaching rebirthing all over the world ever since then.
Well, and including for me, and I've always been very grateful for it. And if my listeners really want to know more about it, they could go to my website, tellthetruthfaster.com, go to the archives and do
and
a search.
On mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to get there, too.
Okay.
And they could do a search and actually hear a full interview I did with actually another one of Sandra's students, Peter Kane. And mm-hmm. I, 4 years ago, did a full show on rebirthing. And you can hear my interview with Peter. And you can go to Sandra's website, sandraray.com. That's Sandra with an O, SONDRARAY.com. And you can get a lot more information on rebirthing and Sandra's books and her lectures and workshops and all that good stuff.
Thank you, actually.
In terms of the Loving Relationships training and rebirthing, mm-hmm. there were two things that really stand out that relate to telling the truth faster. One is what's called the truth process, mm-hmm. and the other is using that truth process to get to your personal lie.
Right.
And so, to me, those are things that I use as a therapist all the time with clients. Could you explain or describe the importance of and what is the ultimate truth process in personal life.
Great. The ultimate truth process is for healing your body and learning self-healing, and I kind of channeled it from the divine, but it has several parts. I think healing has several parts. One is you get the cause of the condition, and then you tell the truth about it and confess it, and then you do spiritual purification to release it. But the truth process is for finding out what is the cause of your condition. Like if you have migraines or you have, you know, intestinal cancer, doesn't matter what it is, you have to find out what's the causative factor, which is always a thought in the mind or several thoughts in the mind. So the truth process helps you find out what those thoughts are. And then it helps you find out what your payoffs, what are your neurotic benefits you're getting out of it, and what's your fear of giving it up. These are things I learned after reading The Course in Miracles 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very simple process. It only takes 20 minutes to do it, but it took me 4 years of reading The Course in Miracles to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So I can save people a lot of time with that.
And it actually is in Loving Relationships, the book?
I think it's in Healing and Holiness. The book I wrote on healing, and I think it's definitely in there, and it's in Celebration of Breath, which is being revised.
I don't think the truth process
is in Relationships book. I think it's in Healing and Holiness and Celebration of Breath.
Okay, thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the personal lie. You want me to talk about that? Oh, yes.
Yeah, the
please.
Personal lie is your most dominant negative consciousness factor, or your probably your worst thought about yourself, often formed at birth. So it's a pre-verbal thought, and it's deep in the subconscious. And until you figure out what that is, you can't get your life to work very well. So good rebirthers, of course, are trained to locate that thought and help people release it through the breath.
So give us an example about how somebody might identify what their personal lie is.
Well, they could write down on a piece of paper, my worst thought about myself is, and fill in the blank. You know, but the thought has to start with I. It's not a thought about life, or it's not a thought about something else. It's a thought about the person himself. So they could maybe do it on paper, but they may not get deep enough. A rebirther could help them get deeper, but you could sort of figure it out. If you write down my worst thought about myself is, you might get I'm not good enough, I'm wrong, I'm bad, I'm, you know, whatever.
I'm not lovable. Or
I'm not lovable.
I'm not wanted.
I'm not wanted, or I'm disappointment if you're the wrong sex, you know, and so on. But it's really
and
a
I know
key thing in rebirthing.
Mm-hmm. So the idea is that to do this truth process, to identify the personal lie, and I say this a lot on the show, whether you're working with a therapist that has this type of consciousness, and even deeper, a breath worker, a rebirther, who can actually help you intellectually get to it and then use the breath as a way of cleansing and the negativity as well as integrating the more positive personal law, as I know you call it,
which is the flip side of the lie. We call it your eternal law, which would be the opposite of your personal lie, and it's kind of your personal mm-hmm. mantra, which would be if you have a thought I'm not good enough, then you have to start reprogramming with the thought I am good enough. Even if you don't believe it in the beginning, you've got to keep repeating the new thought to reprogram. Yes, and so, yeah, that is the key thing, I think, to figure out. And it is in the cells, like you say. That's why we have to breathe it out.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about birthdays and milestones.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure you weren't thinking that. You know, what I said to introduce you, we're actually celebrating a 20th anniversary ourselves.
Yeah, I heard you saying that.
20 years ago. It was 1986 when I first met you, and it was, I'm sure, sometime in August, because I arrived on July 4th, and I was in the Bodhi Tree bookstore, and I saw a flyer for you giving a talk somewhere, and I know I ripped it off, you know, the wall. I took a piece of it so I know where to go. And my friend Jim Tarusa in Florida had rebirthed me a couple of times before I moved out to L.A.,
mm-hmm.
and he told me, you know, if you get a chance to meet Sandra or to attend something, please do it. And there you were staring at me in the Bodhi Tree bookstore. So
I didn't realize you met me so fast right after you came. That's great.
It was that quickly. It was that quickly.
Yeah.
It was that quickly. Within a month and a half after arriving here, I met you, I met Louise Hay, and I met Marianne Williamson.
Wow. That's great. Good for you.
It's all the Divine Mother energy that really started my journey. In fact, Louise is celebrating her 80th birthday on October 6th, and I've been invited to her party. She throws a major party for the at 70, 75, and 80. She's
tell her hi from me.
I definitely will. So Louise's big 80th is on October 6th.
Wow.
So all of these women came into my life, these powerful women came into my life,
mm-hmm.
and I look back on it, and as I assess things, I realize that there was a reason that it was all the feminine energy, and it was allowing me to find peace with my own feminine energy and power within that feminine
mm-hmm.
energy so that I could feel the power of the masculine within
me.
And I know you teach about that a lot.
Yeah, and I have written a book on the Divine Mother, and it was so powerful they said it was too advanced to publish it, but now my publisher in Hawaii is very interested and they think it's time. So I have a book coming out sooner or later on the Divine Mother.
How fitting, because I recently started reading all of Marion Zimmer Bradley's books again, The Mists of Avalon and The Ancestors of Avalon and The Forest House. It's like, for some reason, and now I understand why, within the last week I started reading all of them again.
Wow.
They're very powerful books, and they do a lot to center me.
Wow.
So talk about your own milestones. Talk about what did you do yesterday? Was yesterday a special day for you since it was your birthday?
At the time of my birth, which was 2:30 in the afternoon, I just geared myself up and I started this book. And it's always hard for me to get the first page. Out of the first paragraph, I have to crack some kind of a barrier, you know, and there's a resistance I have to go through. And then once I get the first paragraph, it's so easy for me to write books after that. But I always have to go through something before I do it. And I just, my numerologist in Italy sent me something and said that this was the beginning of some energy that I have never had in this lifetime. So she said it was perfect. It was a master number at that hour, and that was the right moment to start this book. So I'm really happy, and today I was writing like mad all day.
So the milestone moments, like a birthday, kind of opens up, in a sense, an energy flow for you, at least it did yesterday.
Yes, and I think people need to celebrate their birthdays to honor themselves, you know, and to have a new beginning every year. I look at it as an opportunity to have a new beginning, you know, and honoring yourself is part of your self-esteem. And I noticed that I just felt better after I got really into my true self, you know. Yeah, so that I felt better, and I've been feeling good ever since. And it's a good
Excellent.
Time to get rebirth at the exact time of your birth also, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a good thing to do.
Well, I often encourage friends and clients. For many years, I used to throw my own birthday parties.
Uh-huh.
And I used to fill my house. I used to spend 3 days or 4 days in the kitchen baking and baking and baking.
Oh, wow.
And then people would show up and everybody would be little kids with all the sugar that was around. So when I suggest to a client or a friend, who has, especially the ones that have the self-esteem issues, and whether it's a recovery birthday or whether it's a natal birthday,
mm-hmm.
I really encourage them to throw themselves their own party, not wait for someone else to do it for them. It's a real challenge for a lot of people.
I think that's a good idea. Then you're not sitting home waiting for something to happen.
Right, and that, you know, the mental thoughts of, you know, why isn't someone doing this for me? Why aren't I important enough, you
right.
know, for people to celebrate me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you celebrate yourself, people show up.
I think that's great. I really do.
So,
so that idea.
So around milestones and around birthdays and stuff, a lot of people kind of reassess. Now,
mm-hmm.
from what I know about you, reassessment of where you're at in life and things like that is probably close to a daily event for you. Talk about reassessment. Talk about why as human beings we tend to do it or avoid doing it.
Well, I mean, I think we need to do it a lot because, you know, if we're off track, we need to get back on track. And you can tell when you're off track if you're not feeling good or things aren't working in your life or money's not flowing or your health isn't right. And then you definitely need to reassess and start over, you know, and find out what thoughts you're stuck on and making your life not work. And, you know, personally, I go to India every year in the spring and I go sit in Babaji's cave and then I reassess my whole year. what I have accomplished and how well I did or not and what I need to change and then what I'm going to focus on the following year and my projects. You know, am I doing my projects to serve humanity? So I pretty much reassess myself in India every year. And, of course, at your birthday is a natural time to reassess things to see how you're doing, mm-hmm. you know. And I think, you know, I try to reassess myself pretty much.
I think we just had a technical glitch.
Yeah, I think
glitch.
We might have lost the connection.
So hopefully Sandra will call back in, and I think she may need to call back in on her cell phone. It sounded like her battery went out on her landline there. So I'm going to continue. Like I said, considering I have known Sandra for 20 years, and it's been a very interesting thing because Sandra and I had not seen each other for actually a couple of years probably, or maybe at least a year. And it was at a conference in Sedona last September, actually. So it was about a year ago that I did a workshop called, it was a conference on Divine Mother, the Divine Feminine. And I talked about it a year ago on the show because I had a couple of other presenters on the show that were at the conference. And Sandra was there as one of the keynote speakers talking about the Divine Mother. And that basically has to do with embracing the feminine energy in the world. And Christians would see it as the Mother Mary, and other religions, other cultures, all have Divine Mother in their belief system. And some of them actually talk about it a lot more and keep it to a greater consciousness.
Mm.
Are you back, Sandra?
Yeah, I'm sorry. We got cut off there.
Okay.
Go ahead.
That's okay. Your battery went out. It's actually telling people how we reconnected a year ago at the conference on the Divine Feminine.
And that was great, wasn't it?
Yes. And the importance of those cultures that I think celebrate the feminine, I believe, tend to have a lot less conflict going on and a lot less judgment going on. Could you talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, well, you know, if you read Renee Iser's book, Chalice and Blade, she certainly makes that clear. And they talk about the island of Crete, you know, where the couples would rule together and men and women were equal. Nobody was dominating anybody. And then they had peace, and they all worshipped the Divine Mother. And I actually went there to visit Knossos, one of the ruins, and I was astounded how advanced they were. And they worshipped the Divine Mother. And the couples, ruled together, and they worshipped the Divine Mother, all of them, which is the life force itself, really.
Right. You know, and like I was saying, every religion has an aspect of the Divine Mother built into it. Like, you know, Christianity has Mary, and, you know, there are females in all the world's great religions that often, because of the patriarchy of most of these religions, relegate that energy and those beings to a second class. And I think maybe it's time that they were brought up within those religions to an equal place to create the balance we were talking about earlier on.
Right. You know, and that's why it's so important. Like, my religion was Lutheran. We didn't even have the Virgin Mary, you know. This is why I'm so happy to have someone like Amaji in my life, who I think is the highest female saint on the planet. You know, I think it's so important that, you know, we have her now, and you can go on her website, www.ama.org, and get connected to her.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen
you're
her?
Talking. Yes, actually, I have, and I had some friends that have been part of her travels actually for a while.
Why?
So, I want to before we took the break, we were talking about reassessment, and you were talking about going to India once a year, and that was a place that, you know, you did that. And I just want to bring the point home that it's great when you can and choose to do international travel to very powerful places, but there are those same powerful places right here that don't cost a lot to go do and don't take you know, 3 weeks to go do.
Right.
You know, this is on the air in Phoenix, so you go up to Sedona and you have all the power spots you want to go do that, but you can create those power spots in your own home. You know,
absolutely.
You can create an altar, you can create a spiritual place for that, or even in a church or synagogue. You can do it wherever you need to. What do you suggest to people who really know that life's not going exactly the way they dreamed it would, and they know something's off? What would you suggest they do to begin that reassessment process?
Yeah, well, first of all, I would say everybody needs to clean out their house and make it really pure and even maybe feng shui it. But I just want to share what happened to me, because I was living in this apartment building, and some woman started a fire with putting her couch too close to the space heater, and the whole building burned up. And most of the apartments were totally ruined, and mine was completely protected. I was the only one that had no damage at all. And we had to move out of that building, but all my sacred art, I feel, protected the space. So it itself was a sacred space, and I'm so thrilled because none of my sacred art was even covered. I didn't even have any soot in the apartment. And this is a miracle that I had by creating a sacred space in my own home. So I think, you know, you can create miracles by fixing up your home very neatly and making an altar here and there, whatever you want to put on the altar, to remind you of your connection to God and so on.
Mm-hmm. And then?
Yeah. And then, and you then- know, there's... And then you do spiritual practices whenever you can, like praying, meditating, chanting, reading the Course in Miracles, rebirthing, anything you can do. Of course, and going to nature is, you know, one thing that we all should do more of, you know, of course. But I'm just talking about what you can do in your own home.
Or when you talk about nature, you could do it in your own backyard. You can do it by taking a walk, you know, going on hikes. It doesn't have to, you know, a lot of people say, you know, I can't do all this. It takes too much time. I can't take the time off from work. And the point is, getting grounded again and getting back to your own truth is mm-hmm. basically as simple as sitting quietly.
Right. And
lighting
you can do that
lighting
anywhere.
A candle and sitting quietly. Right.
Right. You know, and I heard that the average time with television running in America is 7 hours a day. So you can see people are just, you know, getting stuck in the third dimension that way. They're not getting to the higher dimensions by watching television
mm-hmm.
all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
I want to remind my listeners. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah, well, we, you know, the
okay,
whole
Okay, I wanted
planet,
to re-
Go ahead.
I wanted to remind my listeners that we're talking with Sandra Ray on Tell the Truth Faster here, and if you want to call in, you have a question or a comment, the number is 480-949-1310.
Mm-hmm.
I know one of your teachers is Babaji, and Babaji taught you about truth, simplicity, love, and service to mankind.
Exactly.
And to me, again, just like Tell the Truth Faster resonated, when you were teaching us about that mindset, truth, simplicity, love, and service to mankind, how has that construct or belief system affected you, and how has that played out in your own life?
Yeah, what he actually said was that is the formula for happiness, you know. And I think the point of service to mankind is something we all need to really think about. It's called karma yoga, and it's a way to work out your karma is by serving mankind. And Babaji said work is worship. So if you are doing your work as aspect of worship, which I try to do every day, it changes everything. You know, you feel like, wow, I can't wait to get up and serve humanity today, and my work is my worship. And when you have that attitude like I have, which you taught me, it makes everything so wonderful, and you don't have this drudgery or this think, oh, no, I have to go to work. You can't wait to go to work with that attitude. You know, that's how it's
mm-hmm.
affected me anyway. That's how it's affected me, to answer your question. It gives me an attitude as I can't wait to go and work and do my service.
And a lot of people have this dread of hating their job, going in,
mm-hmm.
and what you're saying, and I agree with it totally, is to make that for many times it's a major shift, but for many people it's a more subtle shift than they may think it's going to be, mm-hmm. to be able to find a reason that really validates what they do for a living and why they're doing it and the importance it is in the web of the culture and the society. That without
right,
them doing what they do, everything else might fall apart, right?
Right. It doesn't matter if you're arranging flowers or whatever your job is. You can still look at it as a holy thing that you are serving humanity. It's an attitude adjustment, really, and that mm-hmm. everybody, that every client or customer that comes to you is part of your ministry. That's what the Course in Miracles would say to do. And your job mm-hmm. is to help, to love them unconditionally and help raise their consciousness, you know?
And I know that a lot of my listeners, you know, they're thinking, well, this guy's a therapist. Why is he talking about all the spiritual stuff, you know? And if you've listened to the show before, you know that I have said these same things with less spiritual vocabulary, but it's the same process. It's the same thought shifting. It's the same growth producing. Activities and identifying belief systems that don't work for you and identifying the belief systems that you really know will feel better in your body and that will enlighten your life. It's mm-hmm. the same thing whether we're using the spiritual vocabulary that we use here and that Sandra uses in her work, or it's like whether you're helping to enlighten people or whether you're cutting hair and just smiling at someone. Then
uh-huh.
your smiling at that person is making their day better, and they may not even realize why, sitting in your chair, they're picking up an energy that has them leave. It's not the haircut, it's your smile.
It's your vibrations. I mean, you know, you attract what your vibe is, and if you put out good vibes, you definitely can heal people, you know, if you have good
mm-hmm.
vibes. It's all about frequencies now. That's the new buzzword, frequencies.
Right.
And we're all supposed to raise our frequencies because the planet itself is going through an ascension process, raising the frequencies. So we have to all raise our frequencies, which means we become more light. And, you know, some people don't want to use the word spiritual, but it's becoming more light, more
mm-hmm.
pure, more light, higher vibration, higher frequency.
And on a planet that is having so much darkness going on all over the place, that little piece that you are creating by consciously making that shift starts building on what's really necessary on this planet.
Yes.
So,
we all have
Sandra,
to do our
let's,
part.
Let's talk about your book, Pele's Wish, for a minute.
Okay, good.
Now, in all honesty, I haven't read it, and I told you I haven't read it. But I have read a couple of interviews you've done about it, so I have a sense of what it is. And before I get to the question I want to ask about it, tell the listeners what Pele's Wish is about and why
yeah.
you wrote it.
Okay, Pele is the goddess of volcanoes. So the book is obviously about Hawaii and the Hawaiian spiritual masters who are called kahunas. And they can perform magic and heal people instantly and et cetera and et cetera. And we all need to be like kahunas now. So they used to have their knowledge be secret, but now they wanted it to come out to the public because we all need to become, you know, masters and kahunas. So they asked me to be the ambassador of Aloha Spirit and to write this book, which is a summary of Hawaiian spirituality is what it is, and how to be a modern-day kahuna yourself.
What is a kahuna?
A kahuna is a spiritual master, a person who has special powers, like they can perform magic, they can heal people instantly, they have power over the elements, they can change the weather, they can change vibrations, they keep Hawaii on the right vibration. They're kind of in the background, but they can actually affect the weather and everything, and people don't realize how Hawaii, how perfect it is, because the kahunas are blessing everything all the time over there.
mm-hmm.
So they're pure Hawaiians, and they're like saints, you know, they're just very high beings.
So the book itself, Pele's Wish, says what, does what?
It teaches you how to become a modern-day kahuna. How do you learn how to heal people? How do you learn how to heal your brothers and sisters, you know? How do you learn mastery? You know, and there's prayers in there for anything. Like, there's prayers in there for how the kahunas manifest money. There's prayers in there how the kahunas manifest relationships or a partner. And, you know, there's a certain type of prayer they do, and they always do breathing during the prayers. That's why their prayers work. And when the missionaries went to Hawaii, the kahuna said, oh, maybe we'll learn some new magic. And, you know, the missionaries came out of their churches, and they couldn't perform any magic. And they said, what's wrong with these guys? And they said, I know. They didn't do any breathing during their prayers. That's why they call them haoles, which means he who does not breathe.
Is it?
Really? That's the meaning of haoles.
I didn't.
Yeah, haoles. Even today, if you're off-island, they call you a haole.
Uh-huh.
And the definition of haole is he who does not breathe. And so the kahunas knew the secret of prayers, how to make prayers work. You know, they have breathing in the prayer so that you link up the subconscious with the conscious and the superconscious so all parts of yourself agree to have this happen. That's why their prayers are so effective. So I wrote about that.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the book, from this interview that I read, you talk about love, safety, and certainty.
Mm.
And you define it as a true power, according to this interview.
Okay.
What is love, safety, and certainty?
Well, yeah, a person who has love, safety, and certainty is the most powerful person around. And love, you cannot define love, but I like one definition. It's called love is an all-existing substance, noticed mostly in the absence of negative thought. So the less negative thoughts you have, the more you feel love. And then safety is a person without anger. You feel safe with them. And then certainty is a person who is clear that they're one with God. So if you are loving and safe and certain, then you're really in your true power. And the old power, manipulation, control, domination, that's a false power.
A lot of times when people hear the word power, and I know I get this a lot in therapy sessions, rebirthing sessions, the word power has a lot of negative connotations to it in our culture and our society and
uh-huh.
in relationships.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we talk about power struggles and control battles and, you know, all of this stuff that actually people are afraid of their own personal power, which to me, and I know to you, personal power is defined as a higher consciousness, one that is used for good, as opposed to the power most of us experienced growing up in our families, where power was more about the manipulation you talked about, power was more of an abusive type of situation. So if somebody comes to you and you use the word power for them and the need to come into their own power, and all they have are negative connotations with that word and that aspect of themselves, what do you say to them? What do you do with them?
Yeah, well, first I have to define power like I did. What is real power? And to show them that control, manipulation, and anger is not real power at all. In fact, Amaji says, if you're angry, it makes you weak in every cell of your body. So I explain to them the consequences of anger and how that's really the opposite of power. A lot of people think, well, I can't get what I want unless I'm angry, and that makes me powerful. But it really tears down the body and makes you weak, you know. So I have to explain all this to people. And, yes, they do have a negative connotation of power from the old paradigm, you know. You have to get a new definition in the new paradigm. And to be in your personal power means just to be certain of who you are. And then you're mm-hmm. harmless. You are pure love. And peace is power. That's the thing people need to learn. Peace is power.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean the person that is the most peaceful is the clearest. So then they're going to be in their true authentic power, and they're going directly to God. So that would be, you know, the opposite of what people think in the old paradigm, that anger is power, where it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really not at all. And you have to teach people the difference.
Well, and it also gets us back to telling the truth faster, because if you're having an interaction with someone and you're feeling anger, the faster you speak about that, the quicker it's out of your cells and out of your system, and the less you're piling on old stuff instead of waiting 2 weeks or 2 years or 20 years to finally say, you know what, I was really angry when you said that.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is about telling the truth faster to move it, so you're not taking it in cellularly and you're not storing it with all the other dark stuff that you might still have in there.
I can tell you what Babaji said to me about anger. You want to hear?
Yes, please.
Yeah, he said that you shouldn't stuff it. It hurts your body. And you shouldn't dump it on anyone else. It hurts them. What you should do is find out what the thought is causing your anger, change the thought, and breathe out the energy. So what I try to do is, if I'm feeling angry, I say something like, I feel activated now, I'm going to go handle my case, you know, and I don't dump it on anybody, and because that hurts them. And I don't stuff it either. I just say, I'm feeling activated, I'm going to go breathe. And that really works. And that really, really works. Or sometimes I make a joke and I said, well, if I was an angry person, I'd be pissed off right now. But, you know, I make a joke out of it. But I try never to dump my anger on anyone else, and I try never to stuff it on myself. And I think he gave me the best, highest suggestion for anger.
That sounds perfect, actually. And we're talking about, we only have maybe about 15 minutes left. And
okay.
I want to talk more about your work today in terms of, we've talked about the books that you're writing, but you're still traveling and you're still teaching and you're still doing things all over the place that's truly making a difference. I mean, I've been in a number of different countries with you myself. So talk about your travels and what you're doing in terms of your workshops and the teaching that you're doing today.
Okay, well, I do have a new book coming out in relationships called Relationships Treasury, and I'm still teaching new paradigms in relationships, how to get out of the old paradigm into the new paradigm. I'm teaching that wherever I go. I just got back from a six-country tour of Europe. And, you know, I'm fortunately, because of rebirthing, I'm able to stay really clear and not get sick or anything, and I can go to six straight countries in a row and not have a problem. So I am still on the road, and I still love it, and I don't mind flying even. And so I'm teaching new paradigms, and now I wrote a new training called The New Frequency for Relationships, how to use your relationship for ascension. In other words, raising your frequencies to more light. And I keep telling people they have to constantly check to see if they're ascending the ladder of holiness or descending the ladder of holiness. So I'm teaching more spiritual trainings, but they're all about relationships still and how to get in the new paradigms.
Which is where you started the whole thing with the loving relationships training.
Right, and you know, I'm
sure. Yes.
I'm happy to say that's having a revival, and we have trained 20 new trainers for that now, and so it's having a revival as we speak. There's several LRTs going on in the country, and you know, I had to stop doing that because I had to teach more advanced training, so I turned it over to other trainers. I don't teach that anymore, but it's going on, and I'm really happy it's having a revival.
Actually, I didn't know that until I went to your website today, SandraRay.com, because you list what workshops are going on around, and I saw Tony LaMaestra and a number of other people that are listed doing the LRTs all over the country, which
really
I was very excited to see.
Yeah, because that training can save people decades of time, you know that, so it's important.
Definitely. And in that training... and in the Course in Miracles, which you've talked about, as it relates to relationships, we talk about the difference between special relationships and holy relationships. And we actually alluded to the differences between that before, but I think, to me, it's a cornerstone of what people need in terms of consciousness shifting, to know the difference between the two. Can you talk a little bit about what the difference between a special relationship and a holy relationship is?
Oh, yeah, sure. The special relationship is the old paradigm where we have one person and we think they're special and more special than us, more special than anybody else, and even more special than God, you know. And it's all about drama and in low vibrations, and you have to work so hard at it that it's the Course says it's the ego's chief weapon to keep you from God. You're so busy working on this special relationship all the time, you forget your purpose here, you know. And the special relationship can be transformed, however, to become a holy relationship, which is really the new paradigm. And the holy relationship is where each person is whole, whole, and in total self-esteem, and they don't need each other to survive. And they are happy on themselves, and then they come together and they share the light. And it's a spiritual partnership, really. And they're together they're actually together for the evolution of their souls, and they know that.
And
well, I think
they also,
Okay.
Well, also, it's like sometimes the awakening is that both people in that relationship are not willing to elevate it. And so what scares a lot of people is, well, if I really start walking this path and I really start learning these things, and my partner isn't interested in doing the same, I might have to move on from this relationship, and that scares a lot of people. What do you say to those people that are stuck because they're afraid of leaving that relationship?
You know, there's so much of that going on right now. People feel like they should move on, but they're afraid to be alone. And, you know, one has to get very comfortable with being alone. And if your relationship is dead and there's no growth, you do need to move on, you know. And if you should try, of course, to heal it and turn it over to the Holy Spirit and pray about it. But if it's not going to move or shift or there's no growth, you have to be willing to move on to the next teacher for yourself, you know. But you can also pray to take your relationship to the next level, and through prayer it can be transformed. And but both people have to be willing to transform it. Just can't, you know, usually do it with one person that's willing to change. Both should be willing to change and look at their own stuff, you know. If you and I are in a relationship and we each look within ourselves all the time to clear our own selves, then we have a good chance of it working. But if we're into blame of the other person, it's not going to work.
Exactly. That's what I was just going to say, because so many people are into wanting the other person to take responsibility for what's going on instead of stepping back and saying, you know, it doesn't matter. I need to take responsibility for my part in this, and that's where my healing is going to come from, whether or not my partner is willing to do the same. And as a therapist, that's exactly what I do. You know, very often when I have two people in a session that are at each other's throats, I just have them stop, be quiet, and make a list of the things that they individually take responsibility for.
Yeah, you know,
and
I just read... Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. And when they've done that, I have them read the list to the other person. And it's often the first time the partner has heard the other person say, I acknowledge this is what I've done to contribute to this situation.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. You know, I read something beautiful. A humble person is someone who's willing to look at his errors, to admit them, and to do something about them. And I really like that statement.
I do too. Yeah. Say it again.
A humble person is someone who's willing to look at his own errors, to admit them, and to do something about them.
Right.
I like that statement.
That is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I want to read something here that you actually said in one of the interviews that I really liked, and it could be what we kind of close on here in terms of your comments to expand on this statement. The question that you were asked was, what can each one of us do to live a more fulfilling life? And your answer was, well, it starts with having a vision and a mission. My guru said the formula for happiness is love, truth, simplicity, and service to mankind. I think we have to find a way to purify ourselves so that our mind is clear and we can be free of disease and free of conflict, and that requires spiritual practice. Everybody has to take responsibility for changing his or her thoughts. If you have negative thoughts, then you telepathically attract negative people and negative things and negative results.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a question of practicing the teachings of metaphysics and trying to serve humanity the best way possible. I mean, to me, that statement sums up everything I know about you.
Oh, thank you. I don't even remember when I said it, but I agree with it.
Well, it's on your website. And to me...
I don't remember when I said it.
It's in one of the interviews on your website, and it does really sum up everything I know about who you are and what you teach.
Oh, thank you so much.
And the issue of vision and a mission is really the point that I want to talk about in the last few minutes that we have. Talk about vision and mission as it relates to our lives.
Okay. Again, starting with the attitude that work is worship, and if you don't know what your mission is, you can do an affirmation, I am willing for the divine plan of my life to manifest. And then you will be lined up with exactly what you came here to do and what your service is. And if you're in alignment with that, you're probably really happy in your career. And if you're not into your mission, you're probably unhappy in your career and you need to find out what is your mission. And so that affirmation, I'm willing for the divine plan of my life to manifest, if you write that 10 times a day, things will really move fast. It's very powerful. Uh-huh. So I would recommend that to somebody that was not, they felt like they weren't clear on their mission. I would recommend that affirmation.
Are you living your mission right now?
Absolutely. And I always knew, of course, I was supposed to be a healer, but it took me a long time to get in the right niche of healing, which I've done now, because my passion and my mission is to be a rebirther and train rebirthers. And I'm always more passionate about it every day. And now I'm really in the groove since I'm writing this book, you know.
Mm-hmm. But you knew that you were here to be a teacher and a healer as a young child, didn't you?
Yeah, because I was always going around healing the sick and taking care of people when I was little, you know, and there was a miracle at my birth. My grandfather was healed when he saw me. So obviously I have been a healer in many lifetimes, but I first went into nursing, and then I got frustrated with the medical profession, and now I'm into spiritual healing, and I feel it's my true passion and mission is that, and I'm doing it, you know. And, of course, relationships, technology is my favorite interest.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing what I love, and I'm learning more every day. You know, I think we have to be in training for life as rebirthers, don't you?
I think as human beings, we're in training for life.
Yeah, right. That's for sure. As human beings,
I want to say something to the people who are listening, that when Sandra said that, even when I asked her, even as a young child, she knew she was a teacher and a healer. I want those of you who are listening that felt something resonate inside of you to really pay attention to that, because I knew even as a child that there was something I was here for that also was about serving on a higher level, whether it's as a therapist, a rebirth, or a teacher, whatever, that I was here to touch lives in a way that was to help elevate what's going on the planet. And I know that there are people who are hearing me say that and heard Sandra say that something, a memory came back to you where you knew that as a young child, that was true about you also.
Mm-hmm.
And many of us had that scared out of us, if for lack of a better word, or maybe that
right.
is what's happened, because we were taught it wasn't okay to think that way. It wasn't okay to think of ourselves as different, or that the difference actually might be a good thing, instead of the difference made us feel more isolated. So if you resonated on what Sandra said and what I'm saying about this, allow yourself to sit quietly and not run from those feelings, and allow yourself to flow back to the memories of when you really knew that and believed it, and allow yourself maybe to do some writing, some journaling mm-hmm. about it, to start reconnecting and grounding yourself in it, because there are many of us on this planet that are here for that purpose and have that vision and have that mission and are not reaching for it and are not living it. And Sandra, to me, you're a prime example of what it really means to go through some really dark times and come out on the other side in the light again, and to teach people that it's okay to go through those times and to heal it.
Yes.
And to live by example and to allow these things to flow through you. Mm-hmm. You know, so I really want to acknowledge you, because you're a really prime example of what all that really means to do.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I just want to say to the people, you know, even if they think that they can't do it, they should let go of that thought, because if they really go for it, the universe will be on their side to help them do it. And you don't
uh-huh.
have to go back to, and you don't necessarily have to go back to college. Or you can keep your regular job and do it through your work. You know, there's always a way you can do your healing work. It doesn't have to be, you don't
mm-hmm.
have to quit your job. But some people might want to, and if they do, they will be guided, they will be supported by the universe. That was my experience.
Well,
I mean,
I was
scared to quit my job, you know, was you know, eight-hour job, but then I just took the leap, mm-hmm. and I was totally blessed because I was willing to go for it, you know.
Well, it's an example of why I left Florida and moved to L.A., and look what happened within 6 weeks after I arrived here. You know, I knew that my leaving Florida after 11 years there, and I was professionally established, and I had the closest friends I could ever ask for down there, but I knew something inside of me was screaming, it's time to move on from here.
Yeah.
And it's been the most amazing 20 years, and you've been a big part of that, so I really
want
to acknowledge that.
Okay, thank you so much.
Any final words you want to leave my audience with? We got 60 seconds.
Well, I really appreciate, I appreciate everyone who's listening with open ears, and just keep raising the quality of your thoughts. Just notice your thoughts, and if you have a negative thought, just give it up and change it to a higher thought. And that's a discipline to do moment by moment, daily and weekly, and the rest of your life.
Well, Sandra, happy birthday, and thank you for being part of the show tonight.
Okay.
And thanks for being a part of my life, too. And if you want to get in touch with Sandra, you can go to her website, sandraray.com. It's not hard to remember. You can find out more about what she's doing and what workshops are around. Or you can also hear this interview again on the archives at tellthetruthfaster.com. In about a week, they'll be up. If you have a friend that you think needed to hear what we talked about tonight or you want to hear it again, go to tellthetruthfaster.com to the archives, and you'll be able to hear it along with all the shows I've done over the last 4 years. So I want to thank Sandra again, and I want to thank all of you for listening on a Friday night. This is Stuart Altshuler on Tell the Truth Faster at KXAM, 1310 AM in Phoenix, Arizona. Have a great weekend, and if you're in Phoenix, stay dry.